not to live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly, I simply got to. If someone...
Welcome to Stephanie's Train Travels. This is episode 12, everybody. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? Alrighty, we're going to be talking about my last train trip, how I met a wonderful young man. I was chosen to train him. His name is Jonathan Perez. And in all my 28 years, I've trained a lot of people, but he was the most eager person and just very personable. And he, once he finished one chore on the train in our sleeper, he would always right away come back, "What else can I do, Steph?" I said, "Okay." And so, you know, it's hard. It's going to be hard for new people because, first of all, it was his very first training trip on the train, and he was with me. So, you know, I show up quite early on the first day anyways. When he showed up, he said, "Well, what's the first thing I want you want me to do?" And I said, "The first thing I want you to do is... I want to make sure that you always understand to have that manifest. I nickname it the Bible. I always said, have it in your possession. Because you always want to look on that manifest to understand who's coming, who is boarding in Chicago. And then after that, who's boarding after we leave Chicago." And so we would sit down in a room together, and I said, "Listen, do you have any questions about your manifest?" He's like, "Well, not really." I said, "Okay, well, here's your first test. Who is the next passenger coming?" And he's like, "Well, don't I need my timetable?" I said, "Well, you need your timetable so you know the next station stops. And if you look at the top of the manifest, it shows the abbreviations." That's another thing he has to learn, is the abbreviations for the towns that we pass through. Like on the manifest, it will say MKE for Milwaukee or LSE for La Crosse. And you have to figure out those station stops. And so I kind of sat down with him and I said, "You know, I'm going to give you a couple questions every day so you really understand to look at what we call the Bible." And so he said, "Okay, I could do that. I got my manifest right here." Well, what I do is I cut the piece of the Portland section that I need to, so I could fits in my shirt pocket with my schedule, my pen. And he was walking around with all six pages. And at one point I told him, and it kept falling out of his back pocket. And I said, "You don't have to walk around with the whole thing." And he's like, "Okay." But he was funny. He was a nice kid. I really enjoyed working with him. And also, one thing you want to do is also have a train schedule with your manifest. And on the back of at the back of the manifest is always a special service request. So I made sure that he understood when you first get your manifest, you look at it. You go right to the back also to see if there's special requests. Like, say, for example, somebody wants meal service. That's where that information will be located. Say, for example, somebody is requesting red cap assistance. Maybe somebody has a service animal. That'll be on there, too. And there was two passengers in room H that requested meal service. So I did a little quiz with him. I said, "So look on the back of your manifest and tell me who in our car requested meal service." He's like, "Oh, it says here room H." I said, "That's correct." So we did a couple quizzes during the trip. And I brought him up to the dining car when we had the to-go order to do for room H. And when everybody got on Chicago, I would take Jonathan with me so he could hear the speech. And I told him, I said, "You always want to ask them, have you been on the train before? Because that's how you know that if they haven't, that you want to give them the big speech where everything's located." And I told Jonathan, I sat him down, I said, "Basically, you always want to keep people informed. If the train stops for some reason and an unscheduled train stop, and if the conductors haven't made an announcement yet, you'll get on the PA." And he was nervous getting on the PA a little bit, but he got it down pat, though, by the sixth day. He was good. So basically, you always want to always communicate with them. If the train stops, get on the PA and say, folks, we've come to a stop here, an unscheduled stop. I'm going to go find the conductors and ask them why we're stopped here. And I told them, I said, you always have to keep them informed. You know, if the conductors don't make the PA announcement, then you're going to go find out why we've stopped here and ask them. He's like, well, okay. So we worked very well together. Our third day that he hung out with the other guy named Emery. Emery was working with Errol. Errol is my coach attendant that I work with every trip, my buddy. And the three of them, unfortunately, they were all excited because I guess the Portland, one of the basketball teams, I don't know much about basketball. You have to ask my mother. She knows everything about everything sports-wise. Anyways, I guess they were hoping to go to this game on Monday because we left Saturday in Chicago and the basketball tournaments were going on. And so all three of them, Errol, Emery, and my buddy Jonathan, who I was they were planning on going to the game, but then I guess the team that was going to play there lost. So anyways, so they were all excited about going to see Portland. You know, we travel along the Columbia River, so Jonathan had one of the fancy phones that I don't have, and he was recording the Columbia Gorge trip, the scenery. And, yeah, he's a very interesting kid. It was fun to watch his enthusiasm and just kind of watch him each day get a little bit better at something, you know. And he was the best trainee I've ever had in all 28 years. He really was. I was greatly impressed by him. And then, this is how much energy he had. Once we got to Chicago on the sixth day, he went to a Cubs game. And he sent me a picture of him and in his poncho. He's actually from Mexico, I believe. I think he was born here in Chicago. But most of his family's in Mexico. So he actually, this is how powerful the Chicago Cubs is. That he went to Mexico, and in Mexico was this great Chicago Cubs poncho. So that night at the game, he wore his poncho, and he sent me a picture of it, and I thought it was so cute. But anyway, shout out to Jonathan Perez, my buddy. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to be gone on vacation in June. I said, you know, try to get my slot, you know, because then you could really, you know, you'd be with Errol, who's my coach attendant. I'll be gone for two trips, but perhaps, you know, you could really try to get those two trips where I'll be gone, see what happens. But he's going to be on the extra board for a long time, probably next couple years. Now, that was his first training trip. Now, when we got home Thursday, he only has 48 hours off. So then Amtrak will call him, and they'll send him out again for another training trip because we have different trains that have different equipment. And I was telling him about the Lakeshore Limited, how that train is so much different than our train because it's different equipment. The Lakeshore Limited has a sleeping car called the Viewliner, and it's all one level. It's not a double-decker train like our Superliner is. And I told him, I said, you know, at any time that you think you're not comfortable that you might need another training trip, just let them know, you know, because you don't want to be out here by yourself and not feel comfortable working on the equipment. And what was interesting is we had a car which it seemed like the air for some reason didn't circulate well. So I showed him where the circuit breakers are, and he's like, well, in class, they told us we'd never have to go in there. I said, listen, buddy, what they told you in class is mostly true. But I said, every trip I go in this cabinet, he's like, well, they said we would never have to. I said, well, guess what? They're not out here. And there's no mechanical people out here. And when you have a car that doesn't have, you know, the circulation error going on, you want to figure out why. And I had figured out that one of the circuit breakers kept tripping out for some reason. So we would have to go in that cabinet, flip it back on, and then the air would start circulating again. He's like, oh, should I write that down? I said, no. You're just going to learn. You're going to learn how to fix things. Yeah. And then, we had a shower. We had one of the deluxe rooms the door handle was kind of loose. Mm-hmm. So the passengers in there, they would go to open the bathroom door, and the handle was almost to the point where it was going to fall off. So my mom got me for Christmas, one of the best gifts she ever got me, was this little leather maker. You know what I'm, is that what it's called? Leather tool? It's got little screwdriver. It's got little scissors. It's called a leather tool.
Oh, and
a lot of carpenters wear
it. Like a little repair kit?
Yeah. It's like 2 inches big, and it's got a little screwdriver in there. It's got a little like a little knife where you're able to turn bolts, mm-hmm. you know? So anyways, I went and got that from my bag, and I said, okay, Jonathan, this is going to be the first thing that you learn how to fix. He's like, oh, well, we need... What was it called? A Phillips? Did he say it was a Phillips? No, he said it was a L-shaped, a Allen wrench. That's what he said we needed. And I said, see, I didn't even know that. And he's like, well, you don't have that, do you? I said, no, but it looks like I better get one. I was going to put it in my bag. So his project was fixing that shower, the handle, mm-hmm. you know. And so he was handy. He was handy. I didn't even know what an Allen wrench is. I don't know what that is. I don't have it in my bag. So anyways, it was one of the best trips I've had in a long time because I kind of got to designate authority. And at one point I said, listen, I'm going to go in my room and I'm going to listen to Barbara Streisand. And you're going to sit over here. And if the call button rings, that's going to be your show for the next hour. I said, are you comfortable with that? He's like, yeah, I am. He was so excited. So, anyways, we really had a good trip together.
Good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him again and keeping in touch. And, And also, of course, on that fifth day, I ordered pizzas for the crew. You know, nice. It's kind of my tradition. and it's nice because it's our fifth day. It's just something that I think brings the whole crew together. And the part of the Seattle crew, they're always trying to compensate me with giving money for the pizza. I said, no. I said, I didn't ask for money. I'm not going to take your money. This is just a little something that I think we all enjoy. And it's nice. So we ordered I ordered four pizzas. I ordered a couple boxes of chicken wings. And we had a safety meeting on the train.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what we called it.
Nice.
Okay, so then also during that trip, I met two interesting guys. They were in room B. They were they got out of Chicago, and they were on their way home to, I think they lived in Salem, Oregon, or Bend, Oregon, which is like an hour or 2 hours from Portland. But they were so funny. They had some adult beverages with them, and they were having a good time. They loved the train. They loved walking around and going to a lounge car and socializing. But what was really funny, the first day that we were together, I forgot their names too. I'm terrible with names. But the one gentleman said, Stephanie, wait till you see how we're going to dress up tomorrow. And I'm like, uh-oh, because I'm thinking, what are they going to do? Do they mean they're going to wear dresses? Or So we're at Minot, North Dakota, and one of the gentlemen comes downstairs, and I was floored. If you guys remember Miami Vice and Don Johnson, well, I nicknamed him Don Johnson because he came down the stairs, and I believe white pants, a very, you know, a Hawaiian shirt, and then a blue blazer and these really cool shoes. And I said, Don Johnson's in the house. And then his friend, kind of felt bad for his friend, he had a... probably one of the worst yellow corduroy pantsuits I've ever seen from 1960 or 70. It was pretty bad. It was like a mustard color, you know. So I said to Don Johnson, I said, well, who is he portraying? I think it's Barney Fife, you know, from the Andy Griffith Show. And I'm like, oh, boy. So those two were a lot of fun. That was the second day at Minot, North Dakota. Now, the third day... they kind of slept in a little bit because they had been up the night before having a good time socializing with the folks in the lounge. And they had met a nice lady that they invited back to the room to just hang out. And I met her. And then I named them the Three Musketeers at that point. But they were really nice. We took a lot of pictures together. And I think Jonathan, I actually had the one gentleman, Don Johnson, send Jonathan a picture so we could have it. And so we're going to see if we could get those laminated or something and put them up on the Hall of Fame wall that I have room one. So anyways, so the third day that we're coming into Portland, they slept in a little bit, but then they got up and they floored me again when they opened that door, because this time Don Johnson had turned into Frank Sinatra. So he had like, he had a cool, you know, Frank Sinatra hat that Frank always used to wear. And he had a, just a, he had like, you know, the swagger of Frank. And poor Barney Fife was still in that yellow corduroy suit, you know. So those guys were a lot of fun. And, you know, we exchanged, I think I gave him my address. Oh, yeah, I did. I gave him my address asking for postcards. So hopefully I'll get one of those from Dean Martin, Don Johnson, and Frank Sinatra. Yeah, that was really cool. They were a lot of fun.
That's good.
And I told them about the podcast show, so yeah, they're going to try to listen. Yeah.
Clarify for me.
Okay.
The second day, the guy that was Don Johnson dressed as Frank Sinatra, and Mr. Corduroy's
was always as Barney Fife. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
He never. Yeah, so he who never, was Dean Martin?
Dean Martin. Well, oh, I'm sorry. That's right. He did have. Did he have a hat? He had a hat that he had on, and he tried to be Dean Martin, but it wasn't going over too well.
Because of the corduroy pants.
Yeah, the corduroy, yeah. It was a corduroy suit with a vest, blazer, and the pants, and it was like yellow mustard color. It was pretty bad. It was Barney Fife, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Pretty
yeah. Yeah, but we had a good time. And then I got to see, you know, Jonathan and Emery. They went to the Nike store. You know, Nike is the big thing in Portland, the big headquarters. So they decided, well, they couldn't go to the basketball game, so they Ubered to the Nike store. And I said, what'd you guys get? Nothing. I'm like, what? You went to a shoe store and you didn't buy anything? So then after that, they had told me that, because we planned on having a cocktail together downstairs at the hotel bar, but I was too tired because I had gone to Red Robin and I had gone to Pizza's Pizza. And then where else did I go? I meant to go to that church again. I don't know if I told you. There's a church directly across from the hotel. It's a beautiful Catholic church. And I'm not very religious, but not this trip, but last trip, I was walking back with my little goodies from Walgreens, and I decided to go in that church for the first time. And it was just so peaceful. It was pretty, very pretty. So I just grabbed one of these books about devotion and stuff. And I just kind of sat in the church for a little bit. And there was a nun in the back, and she was lighting the candles. And it was just very peaceful.
Yeah,
so I meant to go back
there. Nice.
It's really nice. I mean, I'm not even baptized. Mom and Dad, I was born in the 60s. They baptized my brother, but when it came to me, I don't know. They wanted me to pick my own religion. Well, I haven't picked one. I don't know. But I really enjoyed doing that, and I meant to do it last trip, but I was too tired. So,
what else did you see out there?
Let's see. I did go.
Because you went to Pizza Schmitza.
Well, first, I was craving clam chowder.
Okay.
And there's a Red Robin that is near the hotel. There's a lot of things near the hotel. So I decided to go there, and I had some clam chowder, and then I had, I ordered a chicken wrap, I think it was, like a bacon chicken wrap, and it was really good. I hadn't been there in a long time. And after that, you know, I had a couple bites, and then I wrapped it up, and then I thought, okay, I'm gonna go back to the hotel, but I didn't make it back to the hotel. My little feet seemed to go towards Pizza's Pizza. And I was talking to, so I go to Pizza's Pizza for a little bit, and I was talking to the bartender there, and I found out my buddy Brittany, has left Pizza's Pizza. She is starting her own catering business. She's also getting married, which is interesting. And I got to see her wedding dress. And if you guys remember, Brittany was the waitress that had the rainbow color hair, all kinds of different colors, blue, pink, yellow, green. And I kind of named her Rainbow Brittany Rainbow. And so she has left Pizza's Pizza, and she works at a very interesting restaurant. And she also is doing a catering business on the side. Now, I don't remember how to say this, but it's a restaurant. It's not vegetarian. It's not vegan. It begins with a P. Paleo?
Paleo?
That's it. She works at a restaurant called Paleo. That's what is that?
That's the dieting style where it's mostly meat.
Yeah.
And no, it's pretty much no carbs.
Yeah.
So it's meat and vegetables. You get your carbohydrates from vegetables.
So she works at that restaurant. So I was thinking maybe sometime this summer I could go see her and check out this new restaurant. I don't remember the name of it, but the girl that I was talking to, the new waitress who has my drink down pat now. She's been in training. But they did a little gambling, and I talked to her for a little bit. And
what's your drink?
Oh, a Cosmo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But my Cosmo is made with ruby red grapefruit juice. Uh-huh. Yeah. And Absolute. Yeah.
Okay.
Straight up, you know, in the shaker.
Yeah.
Some people don't know how to make them correctly.
Right.
So I had a trainer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
So then I did a little gambling. And then it was so nice, though, that day. It was so beautiful. It was in the 70s. Oh, and then another girl I forgot to mention Alexis. She was our bartender, and it was her first trip to Portland. Guess what happened to her? Poor lady. She broke a part of her wisdom tooth off.
Mm.
And she had to go to the dentist. And she does not, she's just starting out like Jonathan and Emery. So she doesn't have dental insurance after a whole year with Amtrak.
Yeah, yeah.
So the poor girl. So I was texting her while I was at Peach's Mitzvah, because when I went by Red Robin, I walked by this dental place, and I thought, oh God, it's right down the street. So I'll text her, and she was already at the dentist. Dentist couldn't do anything because it was infected. Mm. So, and she was in so much pain, you could just tell on the train.
Poor girl.
Yeah. So they gave her antibiotics, and Alexis was okay. And I asked her, do you need me to bring anything for you, like some soup or something? Because when you're sick like that out there, and you know that you're not going to have any relief until those antibiotics kick in, that's tough. Yeah, so we text her, and she was doing okay, so I felt better that she had gone to the dentist. But yeah, there's a lot of things to do in Portland. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite restaurants, actually, near the train station. It's called Wilfs, W-I-L-F-S, and it's like 10 feet from the train station. It's to the left of the train station, and this is a great what I would call an old supper club. You walk into Wilfs and it's decorated beautifully. We went there for Christmas to take pictures of how pretty it was. But they have these crushed red velvet high back chairs, kind of like your pink one here, but it's crushed red velvet. Mm-hmm. And they are famous for French onion soup. I mean, really good soup. And then they pair that with a Parmesan garlic piece of bread. That's really good. And they also have jazz night there, and they have tastings, too.
Nice.
And someday I want to go there at night to listen to the jazz and do a little taste testing. They have very, very good food. And I always recommend, when I get to Portland, my passengers, if you're looking for a really nice meal or some really great soup, I always recommend that place, Wilfs. And it's like stepping back in time again, because it's got this low-end bar where it almost looks like a desk, like you're sitting at somebody's long desk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really cool. I like to go there and do French onion soup as often as I can. It is a little pricey, but it's well worth every penny.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I recommend that someday.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You said you did a little walk-in around the park to notice the blooms of the flowers
The this time of year, the Japanese cherry trees, I think they're called.
Yeah, you mentioned
them
before.
And they're all pink. And when we why the train, we go over the Willamette. I think I'm saying it right. Everybody says it different. The Willamette River. So basically, I stay on the train until all our work is done. So when they why the train, we cross over the Willamette, and that's where you see like 50 trees right on the on the walkway where the people could walk along the river, and they were so pretty. They were all in bloom. Now, I don't know if those trees smell good or not, but I think they would. I don't know, like magnolias or something. Mm-hmm. But then all the tulips were blooming, the daffodils were blooming. Oh, and when I walk, I always walk through the church parking lot, and they have all these beautiful flowers there. So all those were blooming too. So I always walk across the street and walk through another hotel parking lot, and then I walk through that church parking lot where they have all the landscaping done beautifully. And then I went to Red Robin after that, to the right, and went to Peach's Mitzvah. But the trees and flowers are all in bloom in Portland, so it's a very pretty time of year. Because here in Chicago, my mom's daffodils are blooming, but the trees aren't fully bloomed yet. So, and I don't know if the Japanese cherry trees grow here. I think they do. I think I've seen pink trees before here in our area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to see all the flowers blooming.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Are you ready for train terms?
Oh, yes, I am. Let me put on my glasses. So we're not going to have time to talk about Shanghai Tunnel?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyways, there's a couple neat things also to do in Portland. Now, I've gone to several restaurants and breweries and stuff there and done some exploring. Now, when we're traveling on the third day down the Columbia River, there is a place called Multnomah Falls, and it's a huge waterfall. And almost 15 years ago, I was working with two men, one gentleman named Bill Staus, another man named Mike Poole, unfortunately, has passed away. But their idea was to rent a car and go climb the falls. Well, they didn't want to do it the day we got into Portland. They wanted to do it the day we were leaving. So guess what they did? They said, we're going to meet downstairs at 5:30. I said, 5:30 a.m. on the day we're leaving? Yep, we're gonna go get the car. We're going to drive to the falls. And we're going to hike to the top. I'm like, you know what? I don't think so. So, of course, I did it on one condition. And I said, I have to have a Barbra Streisand song in the morning, playing in the car. He's like, are you kidding me? I said, I'm not going unless Barbara's going in the car at 5:30. I said, because, you know, the day you leave to get up that early climb to the top of a mountain and then expect me to be okie-dokie and normal with that and then get back on the train and start working. See, Bill Staus was the guy who worked the sleeper that trip, and I was still in the coaches, and Mike Poole was the bartender. So we did a deal. I got to listen to Barbara at 5:30 in the morning, driving to Multnomah Falls is almost an hour and a half drive. So we drove there, and Bill Staus and Mike Poole, a little older than I am, by several years. And so the goal was to hike to the top of Multnomah Falls. And thank God there's benches every couple hundred feet, because I'm asthmatic. And I almost gave up at one point because it's really at the top there.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. So after we finally made it to the top, there was this great lodge, the Multnomah Lodge, down below, where we had a huge breakfast and we pigged out, and it was so much fun. It was something different to do, you know. And last year, unfortunately, the Columbia River Gorge, actually, they almost lost that lodge because there was 100,000 acres that were on fire in the gorge last year.
That's crazy.
And it was all because of these unfortunate teenagers decided to light firecrackers off a bridge. Well, those firecrackers started the whole fire. And we almost didn't make it through at one point last summer when the fires were going on, because the fires were so strong, they had jumped over the Columbia River onto where our tracks were. And they were talking about stopping us, but we made it through. But hopefully the Columbia River will get better and refurbish trees. I hear they're planting trees, and I heard that the two kids got like 5,000 hours of community service planting trees, which, you know, they should. They burned them down. Yeah. So that's Multnomah Falls story. Yeah, and it was fun.
Cool.
I'm glad
you got to go.
Yeah, so am I. I don't know if I could do it now.
You can do it again.
I've aged rapidly. I have one more thing that I'm going to do this year, hopefully, with my friend Karen, that I have always wanted to do. It's called the Shanghai Tunnel Tour. And basically, back in the day, there was a situation where people would be sitting at a restaurant or a bar in one particular seat, and the bartender would flip a button, and you would end up being in the basement in a cage, and you'd be shanghaied. And they put you on a boat, and you would go be a slave person over in Europe somewhere, and that's called the Shanghai Tunnel, and it actually exists still, and I hear it's haunted, which is cool. I like doing that. Yeah. So we're going to go do that this summer, take the Shanghai Tunnel tour, myself and my buddy Karen, who is the bartender that I work. So I'm looking forward to having somebody to do things with, you know.
Right, right.
She likes to venture out and walk around and do tours and stuff. And I also thought maybe we could take a boat tour on the Willamette because they have, like, lunch cruises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never done that. I've also gone to one other place is Huber's, the oldest restaurant. Did I already talk about that?
No.
Huber's is the oldest restaurant in Portland. And they still exist. And I went there several years ago. They're famous for Spanish coffees. And basically, you have a waiter. If you order a Spanish coffee drink, you have a waiter that comes over, puts down like a table. And then a Spanish coffee is made with 180 proof rum, I think. And he lights it on fire. And he throws it up and down. And it's such a big, it's such a big production. But they're famous for turkey and Spanish coffees.
Nice.
So I recommend Huber's too. If you guys are going to be in the Portland area, I would definitely go to Whiff's for French onion soup. Then I'd go to Huber's for Spanish coffee and turkey. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's it. Yeah.
That's the list?
That's the list.
That's the Portland list?
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll add more things. You're always exploring Portland.
I will, yeah.
Now spring is actually finally coming.
Yep.
Summer will be going.
Yep. Oh, I do fall. Have another restaurant I just thought of. Henry Weinhart Brewery. Henry Weinhart had a brewery in Portland, and what they did is they kept this thing's huge. It's a block long, this restaurant. But what's really neat is they have a great happy hour for appetizers. I mean, you could make a meal out of the appetizers mm-hmm. there. But what's interesting is, now I don't know if you know the difference between a pool table and a billiard table. They actually have a billiard table upstairs on the second floor in Henry mm-hmm. Weinhart's.
Okay.
But it's leather, and it has the pockets, mm-hmm. you know. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. You know, I've never seen a billiard table before, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been there a couple times. And what was interesting, one time when I was there, because we used to stay at a different hotel, and so we were in a different area. So I was with a friend of mine. And the fire alarm went off in the restaurant like two or three times as we're trying to eat our meal. So everybody would have to go outside of the restaurant, and then the fire marshals or whatever would come and say, oh, it's a false alarm. So then we go back in, and then it would go off again, and then we go back out. But there was no fire, but it was crazy. I mean, it was like three times during our dinner had to do that. And I'm like, what is going on? I said, my food's getting cold. What's interesting about that place, too, is they have this great huge bar that they built. And what they did is, in the middle of the bar, they almost designed like a trough, you know, all the length of the entire bar,
mm-hmm.
and it's shaved ice.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
you put your drink in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool. It's a cool place to go. I recommend that place also, Henry Weinhart's Brewery. It's on Burnside Avenue in Portland. Yep, it's
nice.
Very cool. Very
awesome.
Cool place to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Portland is famous for their food trucks. They're supposed to have the best food trucks in America. And all those food trucks are right by the Huber's restaurant also. And also on Saturday and Sunday, they have one of the best Saturday markets ever. I haven't really gone yet,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard stories. And we've actually picked people up from the van service with the van there. So, that's another thing I'm going to do. I'm going to hit Saturday, but I have to be there on Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
So I'm going to hit Saturday market when I'm there sometime. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's about it, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Right. You ready for Stephanie's train terms?
Train terms, yes, I am. Okay, this one's kind of a funny one. Now, there's something called beans is a train term. So you're like, Stephanie, what are you talking about, beans? When train crews want to go eat, they will say over the radio, we're going to get some beans. So that's their code word for lunch food back in the day.
That's a really good train term.
Beans, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I like
that's
too.
A good one.
The other train term is controlled signal. That is an absolute signal controlled by a control operator. Yeah, that's
nice.
The other train term.
Yep. Awesome.
Episode 12.
Episode 12.
Yeah.
So
it's all about food.
So yes. This is two episodes. We talked about food a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, awesome. So Portland sounds like a great place to visit.
Oh, and there's no sales tax, ladies, men, people, no sales tax. So I buy all my Christmas shopping there.
Mm-hmm.
You could really save some money.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So to conclude, do you have anything to tell the people?
Just come on out. Take a train trip with me. I'm available until June 4th, and then I'll be on vacation.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
To live, just sit and putter. Life's candy and the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Don't tell me not to fly, I simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you. Who told you you're allowed to rain on my parade? I'll march my band out, I'll beat my drum, and if I'm found out, turn at bat, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. I guess I didn't make it, but whether I'm the rose of sheer perfection or freckle on the nose of life's complexion, the cinder or the shiny apple of its eye, I gotta fly once, I gotta try once, only can die once, right, sir. Ooh, life is juicy, juicy, and you see I gonna have my bite, sir. Get ready for me, love, cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march, my heart's a drummer. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. I'm gonna live and live now. Get what I want, I know how. One roll for the whole shebang. One throw, that bell will go clang. Hey, Mr. Onstein, here I am. I'll march my band out. I'll beat my drum. And if I'm found out, you turn at bat, sir. At least I didn't fake it, hat, sir. Guess I didn't make it. Get ready for me, love, cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march my heart.